This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for my weekly visit with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. John, it's great to have you with us again.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me, Greg.
Well, the big story of the week really has been this ongoing and growing debate on Capitol Hill about the best way to reform the nation's financial sector. There'd been an apparent standoff between Republicans and Democrats in the Senate over the Democratic version of the legislation. Early in the week, it seemed like all 41 Republicans would vote against it. And now the differences seem to be thawing, and it appears that there may be even a consensus for the most part. By the time all is said and done here, the president gave a major speech near Wall Street on this today. Did he push this thing over the finish line?
No, I don't believe he has, because as the old saying goes in Washington, the devil is in the details. There still are many things to be worked out, and as Congressman Mike Pence, the chairman of the House Republican Conference, pointed out, a lot of this is going to be business bashing within the bill and a method mainly to punish business and not really improve the lot of the shareholders. Quite frankly, I think a lot of the perceived change in attitude among the Republicans came as the Securities and Exchange Commission filed a suit against Goldman Sachs, and it appeared to be popular to be on the side of those who would punish businessmen. At the same time, does that mean accepting a bill that either gives greater authority to the Federal Reserve Board or creates a consumer protection agency, or changes very much the status of over-the-counter derivatives, something that Secretary of the Treasury Tim Geithner has focused on. All of these things could lead to more government power at the expense of those who are trying to help the most, the consumer. And for that reason, I don't believe in the end you'll see Republicans united on it.
And John, in the speech today, the president said that he was a fan, a strong supporter of the free market, but we need reasonable safeguards. And obviously, the debate can be over what he means by reasonable. Given what we've seen in the Obama administration to this point, can he credibly say that?
No, I don't think so at all. And I think when you see that more than a majority, according to the New York Times CBS poll, believe that the president is leading the country towards socialism, I find it hard to take seriously even his statement that he believes in the free market system.
John, let's talk about a couple of other things. Just across the river from New York, of course, across the Hudson River is New Jersey, and that's where a major battle is shaping up. But between the new governor there, Republican Chris Christie, and some of the entrenched special interests, obviously the state of the budget, huge deficits, a major issue, and probably the main reason he beat John Corzine last year. How goes the battle now?
Well, the governor appears to be taking on a lot of interests, calling for cuts and calling for caps on teachers' pay raises. He's called the teachers onto the carpet, pointing out their rhetoric about doing something for the kids contrasts with their insistence that they receive a tremendous pay increase. And in fact, he noted, as George Will pointed out, that the $550,000 salary of the executive director of the teachers' union is larger than the total cuts proposed for 190 of New Jersey's 605 school districts. No governor of an industrial state has faced a projected deficit the way that this governor has. Governor Christie has a projected deficit of $10.7 billion, and that's about one-third of the state's overall budget, $30 billion. This is a state where there's 700,000 more Democrats than Republicans, and unions representing public sector employees, from teachers to policemen, are powerful. Yet the governor is saying enough. Somebody has to, and how he gets through this fight will be a very telling point for how states deal with the flood of red ink they're facing in the future.
Is he maintaining his popularity as he wages this fight?
Yes, he is. One poll showed 53% approval, and this is with an onslaught of critical media salvos from the same interests that want to stop his plan. And interestingly, citing George Will again, Stephen Sweeney, the Democratic president of the Senate, himself a veteran of the unions, I believe he was in the iron workers, is now starting to say maybe we should work with Governor Christie instead of opposing him. I like that.
John, let's talk about a governor who's slightly less popular, certainly within his own party, and that's Charlie Crist down in Florida. At one time, a slam dunk shoe-in to be the next senator from the state of Florida, and now it appears he's an overwhelming underdog for the Republican nomination against Marco Rubio. Now the question seems to be, will he cash in his Republican chips and try to win this thing as an independent? What do you think?
All right. You like predictions, and our listeners do too. One heard it here first. Before next Friday, April 30th, Governor Crist will put down the $6,900 he needs to with the Secretary of State of Florida to file as an independent. Think about it. He has no other place to go. Every Republican, from Dick Cheney to Mitt Romney to Rudy Giuliani, and this includes a lot of Floridians, have decided that their man is Marco, not Charlie. And as a result, Marco Rubio leads in fundraising, his numbers in the polls grow, and everywhere Governor Crist goes, or so I read, people say, why the hug? Why did he have to embrace Barack Obama when he endorsed the stimulus package a year ago? A position, by the way, Governor Crist has never retreated on. Well, that hug is a killer hug, apparently, and I'm saying the only way he can go is to go independent and count on the teachers' union, whom he became a hero of for vetoing a measure that would have held him to stronger standards and one that conservatives backed, might just go out in the streets for him. We'll see. I say he goes rogue.
Real quick, John, will Marco Rubio be hurt by this probe into the fact that he might have spent state dollars on his own personal issues?
I don't know what laws he would have broken on that. And again, as someone who's been filing expense reports with a lot of travel over the year, those things are fully documented and have to be turned in. The standards are probably as strict, if not more, in the public sector than in the private sector. I tend to believe that someone who's gotten as far as Mr. Rubio is not careful about that sort of thing.
John, not a lot of time left, but last time we talked to you, you were in Pennsylvania. What did you learn in the Keystone State last week?
Traditional conservatives are being invigorated with a good dose of tea. The Tea Party movement is alive and well at the Pennsylvania Leadership Conference, an annual conclave of conservatives. I was moved by the fact that so many people are attending their first or second such session, and the common denominator is they all got involved by going to tea parties. This is going to have a demonstrative effect on politics in the Keystone State, and I suspect nationwide.
John, fascinating. We'll talk about a whole lot of other issues next week. Thanks for your time, as always.
Looking forward, I think, to my predictions coming true. I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.